Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Well, this is Intimate Moment on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Like I said in my introduction, that I'm going to be joined in the studio by the servant of the Lord, Pastor Ernest Hwari. Good evening to you and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Ntate Mashakini, thank you so much. Good evening, man of God. I really want to take this time, this opportunity, just to thank the Lord who is always giving us the opportunity to educate ourselves, you know, in the word of the Lord, and also to bring greetings to our brothers and sisters out there. And we trust that today in this program, the Intimate Moment, God is going to be with us as usual and is going to bless us.
Maruti, the institution of marriage, which has been ordained by the Lord, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
Has to be respected, has to be honored.
Yo, Ntate Mashakini, that's so true. This institution has to be respected. It has to be honored. We also need to understand, when we say the institution, or when we say marriage is the institution ordained by God, what do we exactly mean, Ntate Mashakini? This is actually the divine institution, and yes, it is ordained by the Lord. And when we say it's actually ordained by the Lord, we are basically referring to the whole issue, to say it was designed by God. Marriage, it is not a man-made institution. It is an institution that is exactly was designed by God. And God designed it so that it can fit into his plan, you know, as it relates to humanity, to human beings, and so on. Now, what do we mean by the marriage being the institution ordained by God? It actually means it is a union of a man and a woman. In other words, God gave the pattern for marriage by joining Adam and Eve. Now, as God joins Adam and Eve, he joins them because he wants Adam and Eve to represent, you know, the Godhead, you know, and also to reflect, you know, the Godhead. Now, this is the institution that is basically viewed according to the Bible, and the pattern is that of the Bible. And remember, when I say the pattern is that of the Bible is actually God's word. The marriage must, or is designed to, you know, to reflect the word of God, or to reflect the intentions of God, not the intentions of men. Marriage itself, Ntate Mashakeni, derives its authority from the divine will of God, and from, you know, the law of God. Marriage, it is intended, you know, to be planned, or it was planned according to the plan of the Lord, not according to man's ideologies, but it is the ideology of God. The intention of marriage, Ntate Mashakeni, is a lifelong commitment. It's not supposed to be something that is meant for a particular time, but according to, you know, the nature in which God was designing marriage, he planned it to be a lifelong pattern. That is, you know, what the Bible is actually teaching us. And there must be a commitment. If two people decide to say, rona re a ratana, re batla go nyalana, lenyalo leo batho ba kenang ka mo gare ga lona, e tlamehile gore e be lenyalo le e leng gore people will know and they will understand to say they are here permanently. It is not within the plan of the Lord for marriage to, you know, to break, or to separate, or, you know, to divorce and so on. But it is man, it is God made. That's why we are saying it is an institution that is divinely ordained by God.
And I must say, Maruti, that this is a union of two people who are imperfect.
Exactly.
There should no expectation here, these people are perfect.
Mm.
These are two individuals coming from different backgrounds, their upbringing, their intentions, and their values.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
You know, Dr. Mashakin, let me also take you, you know, in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to read this passage of scripture. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27. I will read up until verse number 28. The Bible tells us, it says, "And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." And verse number 28, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply." Now, as you are saying in your question, you know, people who are being created by God, when they come into this union, they come with their imperfections. You know, they come knowing that they, you know, they are from different backgrounds and so on. It is so true, because as people grow, as people, you know, batla la mo lefatseng go bana le batho ba bangata, then you realize hore he batho ba bangata ba kopana, some of them, they come from other, you know, backgrounds, cultures, you know, languages and so on. As they unite in this union, they totally come from the different understanding with their different way of doings. But God loves them even the way they are. And as a result, you know, we know and we understand that God created this union so that we as people will be able to glorify God, and that we should be able to represent and reflect, you know, the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is how marriage was designed by God. And as we meet together with all our imperfections, that much again, we know that all these imperfections come because of, you know, the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible tells about the broken, fallen world and man's status after the fall. The image of God in a man was shattered. And that's why we come from different backgrounds and so on. Why? It is because of the results of the broken, fallen world that the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 3 is teaching us about. And we have to understand, after the fall of man, God was now in the business of restoring mankind. And that's why he brought Jesus, so that through Jesus, man must be, you know, reconciled. And even the dignity and the image of man, the image of God should be revealed. The image of marriage should reflect God himself. It should not reflect other, you know, institutions or entities, but it should basically reflect the image of God.
Pastor Khwadi is my guest on Intimate Moments on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And if marriage reflects the intentions and the plans of God, what do you think would happen within the household, within this institution?
Dr. Mashakeni, what needs to be happen is that we need to really come before the throne of the Lord and allow God to be the one who will enlighten us, to teach us that we should go back, you know, to the core values. Men must understand to say marriage is not a man's mind, but marriage, it is the plan of God. And that is what needs to happen mo manyalong arena. It means we really need to go back to the Lord and pray and ask God to say, teach us hore modimo re pele go ya ka mo wena o ileng wa create lenyalo ka teng, not to do what the community and the societies are teaching, but we must live according to the mandate of the biblical principles.
And I suppose, Maruti, living by the biblical principles, it takes commitment.
Yes.
The two of us.
Exactly.
To say, this is how we are going to live.
Yeah, yeah.
This is how we are going to maintain the standard of living. Your parting shot.
Yes, Ndati Mashakeni, it is true. It really takes the commitment, and the commitment must be found in the Lord. And I must say, the image of the Lord must be reflected in each and every union. That should glorify the will of God.
Right. This is Intimate Moments on Radio Pulpit. Well, in this show, we're trying to, you know, reakha malapa. We are building families so that ultimately glory and praise should be unto the Lord, right? Pastor Khwadi is still here with me on Intimate Moments Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And yeah, before we go into the second hour, let me say we played a song by Bongani, the author, saying Moya Oyingwele, because we need him, the Holy Spirit, to actually guide us. Pastor Khwadi, welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tatan Mashakeni.
I must say that I'm glad for the points that you raised earlier on.
Yes.
And it's absolutely, absolutely fantastic to understand that this is the institution that has to be respected, to be enjoyed as well.
Exactly. Actually, Ntate Mashakeni, as you are saying, you know, to be respected and to be enjoyed as well. Remember, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27, verse number 20, and verse number 28. It talks about a union between a man and a woman. And this union, remember, we said it is formed by God. The core purpose of, you know, God having to form this union, it is number one for companionship, Ntate Mashakeni. Modimo o ile a create lenyalo gore motho a seke a ba lonely, but motho a be le somebody o ileng gore a ka kgona go iketla le ena, go itumela le ena. You will also note gore in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, actually, Adam, you know, he was just alone there, taking care of the garden. But God saw it fit to say, this man, let me create, you know, another, a companion who is going to be there, you know, to help him and so on. Now, that the first thing was to say the companionship is there. Our marriages must result in this companionship. It must give birth to, you know, companionship. Go tshwanetse go bana le go iketla, and manyalo a rona Ntate Mashakeni should not be strained. We are not supposed to be in this marriage, you know, re khotlelane and, you know, blame each other and fight each other. No, there must be that mutual understanding and companion. It must always be there. And the second thing, you know, as God had formed this union, it was because of the procreation, so that re kgone go tsala riate. And the other thing, it was, you know, the nurturing, so that we are able to raise the children together, take care and ground these children, teach them the biblical principles, teach them the oracles of God, you know, the laws of God, so that when they grow, they should grow, you know, knowing the will of God. Just like Job, you know, when you study the book or the story of Job, you realize that the Bible tells us to say Job every morning, he used to wake up early in the morning and do a sacrifice, and he would sacrifice, you know, animals to the Lord with the understanding to say, my children might have committed a sin to the Lord. And he would pray every day to say, let me ask God to forgive them and to cleanse them. And he would do that every day. He would teach the children the principles of God. And this is basically what we are supposed to be doing as the children of God. And the fourth, that which I want to bring to our attention, is the interdependence. That would mean we must learn to depend on each other. We must learn to be able to assist one another. But unfortunately, Ntate Mashakeni, coming to chapter 3 in the book of Genesis, you realize that there is now a broken, fallen world. And this broken, fallen world changed everything. it changes the status of man. You know, the relationship of God, man's status was affected. The image of God, you know, in man was actually shattered. And therefore, we see a broken world affected the family system and produced different types of families. And these different types of families, and that's what we talk about, the nuclear family, where we have, you know, the father, we have the mother, and we have the children. This is basically the family Elunghoro Mudimu would want us to have it. And it is the family before the fall. Unfortunately, just after the fall, you know, we had so many types of families.
Pastor Khwadi is my guest, Intimate Moments on Radio Pulpit. And thank you for joining us. We're talking about the marriage, the institution that has to be respected, has to be honored. And I must say that it qualifies by what the word of the Lord is saying. Pastor Khwadi, one of the things that we need to actually guard and ask for grace is to nurture our children under that atmosphere of harmony. You did touch it.
Yeah.
Because that's very, very key. If children are not brought up in a conducive relationship of family, guess what? They will go haywire.
Exactly. That becomes a challenge, Ndati Mashakeni. That's why we normally teach, you know, the husbands, the couples, the husband and the wife, to say, maintain a good relationship between the two of you. Once you have the good relationship, then you are able to assist your children. You know, if your children are not being assisted, or maybe if they go astray, we therefore look at how the parents behave. You know, parents must avoid to have quarrels, arguments, fightings, you know, all these things, just to be doing all these things in front of the children, because this is how the children are learning. Children will automatically adopt some of the behaviors that they are learning from their parents, and they will want to practice these behaviors even to their friends out there. But now, nurturing starts from us, to say we as parents, we must be able, you know, to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of being a child of God. And therefore, we live by the principles governed by the Lord.
Now, Pastor Khwadi, you would agree with me and the family as well. Children don't do what we tell them. They watch us.
That's correct. Yes. They copy.
In terms of our conduct.
Yes. Our behavior. That's so true.
How you handle each other within that particular family. You know, they just watch.
Yeah.
In other words, they copy.
Yeah.
In other words, we become their mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so correct. That's why, you know, as parents, we really need to conduct ourselves worthy. You know, the way in which we are governed by the principles of the Bible, Ndate Mashakeni, we really need to abide by that. Let us be careful about the things that we say. Let us be careful about, you know, how we behave. If we have got issues between us as parents, let us go in our closet and let's sit down there. Let's discuss. Let's agree. And so that when we go out and we approach our children, we stand in one weight. That's how we nurture children. And the children will copy from us. They will learn from us. And then this is the right way of doing things. To say, just like the Apostle Paul, he was writing to a particular church, and he was saying to them in the book of Romans, and he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, he had, you know, that boldness to be able to tell, you know, his audience, to say, you can follow me, because he is sure to say, I am living right. And he says, as I follow Christ. As parents, as leaders in our families, in our marriages, let us be able to say to our children, look at us, copy from us, because we are living right. And the children will do what is right.
I must say, you said a mouthful, Maruti. What you are saying, it is important. Well, we go to the final hour, and we, my family, we are going to look at why do we communicate. But let's go there by a beautiful song, Thabang Mavundla or Mabunga, on Intimate Moments this evening. Uteng, obviously, this is Intimate Moments, Pastor Kwadi. Let's go to the final hour.
Amen. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Well, like I said, I'm not alone, you know. As we navigate this and walk together in this show, Intimate Moments on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, the Wednesday edition, Muruti Kwadi is busy helping us to understand the dynamics of marriage and some of the things that we need to look at. Muruti Kwadi,
Dr. Mashakin,
I should think I would like to ask you a question. Why communication?
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Mashakini. Communication is key in marriage. Effective communication skills reduces misunderstandings and it builds compassion. That is the reason why we need to communicate. The reason is that we refute, we do away, you know, with all misunderstandings. That is how powerful communication is. Communication helps us to restore relationships. It builds trust. Communication is there to say this is the direction. Communication is here, Ndati Mashakeni, to say we can do this thing called marriage, this institution that is designed by God. Communication is very vital. It is important, you know, to develop our relationship. Communication helps us, you know, to interact more often as husband and wife. Now, these are the ways that which communication will assist us, Ndati Mashakeni. And I also would like to read a passage of scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to read from verse number 4 up until verse number 7. These are some of the passages that which we know, and probably many of us, we are preaching and we have counseled, we have shared in various organizations, you know, with this passage of scriptures. And the Bible tells us to say, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Now, when you read this passage of scripture, Ntate Mashakeni, then you see the importance of communication as well. To say, if you don't you don't see something that is going the way you would thought, then because there is love, you are able to go to your partner and communicate with your partner. And by so doing, as you approach your partner, you are actually doing away with all the misunderstandings and you are building trust between yourself and your partner. That's why the Bible talks about love. And it says love does not rejoice at the wrongdoings, but it rejoices with the truth. Where there is love, there is truth. Communication is so important, again, Tate Mashakeni, because it creates better relationships. You know, the relationship is going to be better between yourself and your spouse or your partner. Okay, let me not say your partner, because we are talking about people who are married, people who are in this union, the union that is designed by God. And I must say, to say, if there is or there are conflicts, you are able to confront your wife with love. I normally say love confrontation, because, you know, when you confront someone else with love, you are creating, you know, an opportunity to say, let's communicate. need. Let's resolve challenges. If there are challenges that which you don't understand, you are able to approach your wife or your spouse, Ntate Mashakeni, with love. And again, communication helps us to handle conflicts better. You know, as we come together, because we are in this union, we are able to work out the team building muscle to say at the end of the day, let us, you know, be able to speak about some of the conflicts that which we are encountering. And remember, we are doing this in the spirit of love.
I love that, Maruti, these three aspects that you are touching: love, better relationship, handling, you know, conflict nicely together.
In love, yes.
In love, they are very, very important.
Mm.
Because these are two individuals. If there are no communication, there will be misunderstanding. However, immediately we start to talk and say, my darling, this is how I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Perhaps you misunderstood me. And you put across your views in a loving way. That would go a long way.
Yes. You know, as you are saying that, Ntate Mashakeni, you know, at many a times you realize that when your wife is communicating with you, you might misunderstand what he's trying to communicate. And as you misunderstood, it is so important to say, go back to her, ask her, lovey, what were you saying? And she will explain to say, this is what I intended to convey or to communicate with you.
Uh-huh.
You know, in most cases, we blow things out of proportion.
I can imagine.
We become so upset. We are angry. We throw in the tantrums and so on. We bang the door. We
leave. I can imagine.
For unnecessarily, Ntate Mashakeni. But had you went back to your wife and you say to him, this is how I understood you. What were you? Can you confirm if what I understand is what you were trying to communicate? And your wife for sure will say, lovey, no, I did not mean it that way.
Mm.
I meant it this way.
I love that. Kind words.
Yes.
Build good relationship.
Exactly.
Kind words are sweet to the heart.
That's so true.
To the life of an individual.
And remember, it also helps us to do away with conflicts. You see, the handling of conflicts. Some of us, we are not trained, we are not taught on how to handle conflicts. But communication is key, because things that you thought are like this, then somebody will clear them to say, actually, they are not like the way you are understanding, but this is the situation. And that, you know, will create an atmosphere where the conflicts are nicely handled, Ntate Mashakeni.
And I can imagine, Muruti Hwanti, you know, the home where there is communication, there is love,
exactly,
there is harmony.
Exactly.
Even though there is no sufficient money, but love reigns. Would you agree with me?
I do agree. I mean, you are also concurring with the passage of scripture that which we have read to say, love rejoices with the truth. Where there is love, there is truth. And the other thing that I see in Ntate Mashakeni is that, you know, a communication, because it's key, it also builds trust. And this is one of the benefits of effective communication. It includes encouraging trust, you know, to your spouse and so on, you know, even to your children and the family at large. It is very vital to adhere to the principles of communication.
Hey, my family, this is absolutely fantastic. This is Intimate Moments with Thompson Mashakeni, talking about the power of effective communication. Pastor Ernest Hwari is my guest. After this song by Nanki, Indlela Zami, we continue with the conversation. I must say, this is absolutely brilliant, particularly in our days and times, Muruti Hwari, we are living in.
Yeah.
re tshwantse re bue hi bulavula.
That's so true.
For us to have harmonious relationship.
Exactly. And godly relationship.
Godly
yes.
relationship.
Yeah.
Yo. Mrutiwadi, as we go to the next, you know, talk or segment, what would you say we should do in life generally in the marriage?
Right. The most
in
important
30 minutes. Yeah. 30 seconds.
The most important thing, let us go back to the Creator.
Uh-huh.
Let's go back, you know, to establish the relationship between ourselves and God. And it is the Lord through the Holy Spirit who will teach us what we should do.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM. 657 AM. Radio for believers in action.